The bipartisan tax rebate and school spending bill announced this week by Governor Tony Evers failed to pass last night in the state Senate. It happened in a shocking late-night vote. It's Thursday, May 14th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, the Watertown School Board told its band students they can't play a composition dedicated to a transgender activist.
I don't think you guys understand how hard it is to listen to you guys, not accept them, because I know what it's like to not be accepted.
And a Republican primary in the North Woods will test whether President Trump's endorsement is still a golden ticket. Stay with us.
Are you an educator looking for ready-to-use classroom content and engaging professional learning? Visit pbswisconsineducation.org for free videos, games, lessons, and more, built to spark curiosity and support state standards, from writing and Wisconsin history to science and music. Find what you need at pbswisconsineducation.org.
A bipartisan tax cut and spending deal between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican legislative leaders failed to pass the state Senate last night. As Rich Kramer reports, it died with bipartisan opposition, too.
The bill intended to spend $1.8 billion on tax rebate checks, property tax relief, and special education funding. It took months of negotiation between Evers, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein chastised all three for leaving Senate Democrats out of the process.
This is a completely reckless proposal, stitched together in a backroom deal by three people who will not be running around and won't be here when the consequences of a multi-billion dollar deficit comes home to roost.
Three Republicans joined all Democrats in voting against the deal. It had passed the state assembly on a bipartisan vote just minutes earlier. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A conservative law firm is suing state officials in federal court challenging Wisconsin's ban on conversion therapy. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty filed a suit on behalf of two licensed counselors who provide faith-based counseling services. A state rule says it's unprofessional conduct for licensed therapists or counselors to promote methods meant to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. Will argues the rule prohibits counselors from providing faith-based counseling. Abigail Swetz leads LGBTQ rights group Fair Wisconsin. She says the suit is aimed at promoting conversion practices.
Youth and their families should be able to expect that a licensed medical professional would not put them at risk of severe harm, and conversion therapy practices do exactly that.
But Will says the case is aimed at protecting counselors' free speech rights. Will says Wisconsin rule closely mirrors a Colorado law that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled may violate the First Amendment. Watertown High School band students won't be allowed to perform an instrumental piece of music at their spring concert. As Corrine Hess reports, that's because of its ties to LGBTQ plus history.
The Watertown School Board removed a Mother of a Revolution from the May 18th program. Board members called the piece indoctrination and said it could incite political violence. Omar Thomas composed the piece in 2019 and dedicated the work to a transgender activist. School Board member Sam O'Neill said the decision to pull the music reflects the platform members campaigned on,
which was ending indoctrination in the classrooms and ending radical curriculum.
Camilla Siebelist is a seventh grade trombone player. She asked the board to reconsider. She explained that last year she told her friends she is gender fluid and has been bullied.
And I don't think you guys understand how hard it is to listen to you guys, not accept them, because I know what it's like to not be accepted.
The band has been practicing the piece all school year. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Trustees in a small Dane County community have fired their village president. Following a hearing Tuesday night, a majority of Shorewood Hills trustees concluded that John Iams was guilty of gross neglect of duty. They voted 4-3 to remove him from office midway through his two-year term. Iams' attorney, Aaron Dealey, warned that the decision could be vulnerable to legal challenges. She said none of Imes's actions met a legal standard that would be needed to justify removal under state law.
What we're talking about is six elected officials voting to oust the seven and to nullify the votes of the people who voted for him.
Imes's removal came in response to a complaint which accused him of concealing public records and failing to disclose conflicts of interest. It also alleged that he made false statements about a Sense-aborted plan to purchase a building that would have been used as a new village hall. Imes has denied any wrongdoing. Coming up, President Donald Trump gave his endorsement to Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's son-in-law. Is that enough to win him the nomination in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District? That's right after this.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
An endorsement from President Donald Trump can serve as a golden ticket in Republican primary elections, but that has not been the case so far in northern Wisconsin's 7th congressional district. Trump endorsed 26-year-old Michael Alfonso, the son-in-law of U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. As Rich Kramer reports, it has frustrated some conservatives and emboldened Alfonso's GOP opponents.
On an unseasonably warm day in late April, around 30 Republicans slowly filed through the open doors at the Mercer Community Center, less than a half hour south of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. They were there for a 7th congressional district debate put on by the Iron County Republican Party. On stage sat GOP candidates Jesse Eben, Kevin Hermaning, and Nina Baum. To their left was a sign with the name Michael Alfonso taped to an empty chair. Moderator Bruce Marcus wasted no time asking them about the president's endorsement from January, in which he called Alfonso a MAGA warrior from a great family.
Could I conceivably say, what are you guys doing in the race? You like Trump so much, why don't you quit and endorse Alfonso?
Each candidate responded by praising Trump, but Hermaning, a 66-year-old financial planner and former Marine, ripped Alfonso for attending a Washington, D.C. fundraiser instead of the debate.
We're not supposed to, on the front end, before we're even there, be proven to be part of the swamp.
And Eben, a 36-year-old executive with Ashley Furniture, referenced an article about transportation industry lobbyists donating to Alfonso's campaign.
I don't think that district, I mean, I've heard it directly, appreciates nepotism, appreciates a rolled-out carpet, and appreciates a candidate funded by the swamp specifically for transportation dollars.
Alfonso is new to politics, and critics have knocked his lack of experience. At age 26, he'd be the youngest member of Congress. For his part, Alfonso is portraying his youth as a positive, and in a joint podcast interview, his wife, Evita Duffy Alfonso, said it gives voters hope.
And when they see somebody like Michael campaigning and espousing the kind of values that he has, it makes them feel okay about the future.
Alfonso has outraised his opponents with Sean Duffy's help. His money, connections, and Trump's endorsement would be enough to win most GOP primaries. In the 7th district, that's not yet clear. Longtime Republican strategist Bill McCoshin grew up in Superior. He said this might be the one district where Trump's endorsement is not decisive because the people of northern Wisconsin are very independent.
They don't like to be told what to do. And I think it's a mistake, frankly, for Alfonso to not participate in those debates. He's a smart young man. He can hold his own.
Another factor in the race, Eben and Hermaning have the financial resources to compete. Eben has a $1 million PAC backing her, and Hermaning loaned his campaign $1 million. There are three Democrats, Ginger Murray, Chris Armstrong, and Fred Clark, also vying for the seat. Clark served in the Wisconsin Assembly and said the district is in play because residents are sick of political hatred.
My goal is to reach every thoughtful voter that I can and make the appeal that a Democrat could actually represent you. You wouldn't have to give up your values, but you might actually see a federal government that works better for you.
Joe Hendrick, a longtime Republican elections expert, grew up in Minocqua and has done work for Hermaning. He said people think of the 7th district as a safe GOP seat. Hendrick stopped short of that.
If the Republicans had a poor candidate, It is possible Democrats could win this seat.
But Hendricks says the winner of the GOP primary in August is likely to win in November, which is why there's so much focus on that race. Back in Mercer, Iron County Party Chair Tanner Hiller says he tried to get Alfonso to agree to his event. He says he was told the presidentially endorsed candidate doesn't need to debate.
There's a lot of people that have better credentials, that know this district, that will represent this district better than Michael Alfonso. And I tried to give him a benefit of the doubt and get his opinion on matters, and he didn't show up.
Weeks after the debate, Hiller endorsed Hermanning. Alfonso's campaign did not respond to WPR's request for an interview. For now, he's touring the district and running an aggressive social media campaign. It includes an appearance in an online reality show with his father-in-law, the DOT secretary, and President Donald Trump, his endorser-in-chief. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now for a look at the forecast. Sunny to some high clouds later in the day today. Pleasant with rapid warming. Highs will reach in the upper 60s to mid 70s, and breezy winds could reach more than 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers likely. Lows expected in the upper 40s to low 50s. And then tomorrow, light showers possible in the early morning, and then partly cloudy, breezy, and warm. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Deneen Smith. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.